State Street in the heart of Chicago. You are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah!
ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, live from the Old National Bank Studio. WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
1-0. Swung on and lifted in the left. This is gonna win it. It's a grand slam for Jake Berger. He got it all, and just over the wall.
A line drive that he went down and got a curveball that might have been below the kneecaps.
Connor and DJ yesterday, right here in your home for White Sox baseball. Connor was doing the play-by-play. Len was doing TV with Stoney yesterday. Day off today, then the quick road trip into the Bronx starts. Yurko, you realize the White Sox next 22 games are against the Yankees, Marlins, Dodgers, Mariners, Rangers, Red Sox, and Angels. And every one of those teams except Seattle is above 500 right now. A couple of them are close, and even Seattle's close at 29 and 30. But the schedule gets a lot tougher after playing a lot of AL Central teams. Look, I'm glad they finished off the sweep. You finally did it. Like, that's something you should have done this weekend. At home against the Tigers team that is average at best, minus probably its best offensive player, its best starting pitcher, and a couple of other utility guys that they use, all on the DL, the IL. You should have swept them, and you finished it off yesterday. So I was happy to see that. I what is my belief and hope? I'm grasping here. I realize that. They've got a 0.1% chance to win the World Series. Baseball Reference doesn't even give them, I think, a full 3% chance still after a weekend sweep to even make the playoffs. But they're 5.5 out in a crappy division. And I'm clinging to the hope that, hey, if you could just win it and get in, maybe some sort of weird, magical thing can happen. That's all I'm hoping for. I know I'm reaching here, people. I know it.
Let's set a goal. July 9th.
July 9th.
It's the Sunday before they take the All-Star break.
Okay.
July 9th. You find yourselves 9 games below 500.
Which is what they are now.
Now. That's where you find yourselves, the White Sox. Yes, 9 games below 500. Jeez. Where do you need to be by July 9th for you to feel that maybe this team's got a chance?
So,
knowing the record of the teams that you're playing here.
So, like, you're saying not how many games out, but sort of give me an idea where you'd be comfortable.
Where are you comfortable? Are you 3 games under 500?
I would say 5. Okay. I would say 5.
So, if they can bring it to 5 games under 500,
3 to 5 is good. 3 to 5 is good.
All right. So, if you can do that, you're feeling, okay, if we maybe tweak this thing just a little bit for the positive,
yeah,
we might have something. You would be a buyer July 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Because I might be very misguided here and very myopic. I don't like the idea of like selling things off because you'd be signaling the end of a rebuild that we'd look back on it and we'd go, well, that was a joke. Championship window. You won 2 playoff games, not series. You won 2 playoff games.
It was open and shut.
Yeah, like so.
It opened and shut.
Kind of why I don't want them to be in a position where it's like, well, let's just trade everything we've got. Trade Liam. Trade Giolito.
You're not in the place. You're not in a place right now where you want to rebuild again.
Not really. You're like I know it's sort of ridiculous, but I just hope that they could stay in a bad division, and if you could sneak into the playoffs. You know, baseball can be weird.
I watched
the Phillies
Cubs.
Were weird last year. Let's face it.
I watched the Cubs beat Tampa Bay 2 games in a row.
Yes, you did.
One-run games. They lost the one-run game. So maybe you heighten your level of play once the good teams start playing them. But this team's got to win on the road. Haven't they had problems winning on the road?
They've had problems winning pretty much everywhere. I'll give you the
road
record.
Are they equally bad at home and on the road?
I'll give you their splits. Hold on. Whoops, wrong tab.
You're going to play the Yankees, right?
They're going to play the Yankees. I'm telling you, you talk about July 9th, a month out. They got, I told you, 22 straight games, Yurk, against teams that are pretty good. You know, you're going to play the Yankees. You're going to play Boston. But Marlins aren't bad. You're going to play the Dodgers. Dodgers are good. Here, let's see, Yurk. So at home, the White Sox are a game above. And yeah, you're right. They've been miserable on the road, 10 and 20.
Well, there you go.
16 and 15 at home, 10 and 20.
So they got to make some hay on the road. That's what they got
to
do.
And they're going to L.A., they're going to New York.
Got to make hay on the road.
Yeah.
I just gave you the map. It's here for you. You're welcome.
The Berger walk-off was great. I love Jake Berger. I don't know that it's totally sustainable. The ridiculous You know, home run per at bat rate. I mean, he hits a home run every 11 at bats, Yurk. 11.
It's pretty good.
Jake Berger is, you ready for this? He now has, because he's been playing so much more, he now is a qualified batter in terms of some of the StatCast data. You need a certain level of batted ball events. So he is qualified, all right? He's played enough. Jake Berger is second in baseball in barrel percentage behind Aaron Judge. Here are your top 10. Ready?
I'm ready.
These are your qualified batters. Mm-hmm. I'll give you 1 through 10 in order. Aaron Judge.
Right.
Jake Berger. Matt Chapman. J.D. Martinez. Ronald Acuna. What a bounce back he's having. Jorge Soler. C.J. Cron. Yordan Alvarez. Pete Alonso. And Matt Olson. Who's the real outlier right now? I mean, C.J. Cron's not a great... He plays in a favorable park. He's not a great offensive player. But, like, those are some of the best offensive players in the game of baseball. And Jake Berger's in that top 10. He is second in barrel percentage. He just squares it up and he hits it hard.
That's what he does.
I love it. The story's good. I mean, he gets up there. You know, that jersey looks like it's... Listen, I'm not being mean, but it looks like the buttons are holding on for dear life a little bit, you know? He's got that white jersey all tucked in. Those buttons are like, man, just... Can this game end so we could take this jersey off? And he's got the mustache. There's nothing not to like about Jake Berger.
Yeah.
Nothing. I love it. I love him. I love the story. I love the way he looks. I love the way he attacks the baseball. I love the way he hits the baseball.
I love
the way he trots around the bases.
He's one of those husky fellas.
He's a husky fella. So I love everything about the guy.
If those buttons ever popped off, they'd come at you like Chinese throwing stars.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right. You can. I mean, those buttons are holding on for dear life in that uniform, and I love it.
Quadruple stitch.
I absolutely love the guy. Like, could he be finally our own little Schwarber, our right-handed Schwarber? As a Sox fan, I asked the White Sox 3 years ago, hey, go get Kyle Schwarber. That'd be nice. That would fit here. That'd work. They didn't.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Berger will continue. Again, like the pace is kind of ridiculous, and he's very limited because you can really only DH him. I mean, you can't throw Kyle out in the outfield a little bit every once in a while. There's really nowhere to put Jake Berger other than letting him DH. Just go up there and hit and do your thing. And the moments aren't too big for him, and I love him. I don't know. I feel like Sox fans right now across the board pretty much look at the story and go, this is great. This is cool. I love this guy. I don't know that I'll always be able to hit a home run once every 11 at-bats. Will he finish the season in the top 10 in barrel percentage? It'd be pretty fantastic, but he hasn't played a lot in his career. It's a small sample. He is like I was looking at this the other day. He's like 115 career OPS plus. I mean, like, you know, guy's got a pretty good idea how to hit, Yurk. Doesn't walk a lot. I get it. Strikes out a lot. Hold on. Let me get it for you here. Where is he? For his career, he's 127 career OPS plus. Now, it's not even 500. It's not even 350 at-bats, Yurk. He's approaching about a half a season, for crying out loud, you know, over 3 years. But a career 127 OPS plus. I don't know. He's just a great story. White Sox had a weird weekend. Like, the walk-off win on Saturday was weird. Did you see that?
All the runs were wild pitches.
Did you see how they got the last one in the extras? It was
bases
crazy.
Bases loaded. Winning run is Moncada. At third base. And the ball hits the umpire, and the White Sox are going to win. And we hope Corey Blazer's all right. A wild pitch off the mask of the umpire. So a muted celebration. The Sox have won the ball game.
Len with the call on Saturday. Yeah, you're right, Yurk. It was just a weird, bizarre, low-scoring game, and they walked it off when the umpire gets hit in the mask on what I don't even think was a cross-up. It was almost just like the catcher missed it. I've never seen that. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No.
To end a game, you ever see anything like that?
I have never seen something like that. Never. First time for me.
What do you think that felt like? Getting a 96-mile-an-hour fastball in the cage.
Well, he's got the cage on, so, I mean, that protects him. But it still has a little bit of an impact, and it's kind of...
It rattles you,
yeah,
right?
It's a wallop. It's a wallop. Nobody likes to get hit in the melon with that.
Holy cow. That was pretty wild. And then Kopech was good again yesterday. We could talk about the level of competition. We've done this with him a little bit. I get it. But I'll take this over the alternative. I mean, he wasn't great in that Angel game, let's face it, but his last four starts now, Yerk, 2.05 ERA, and the good news is it lines up pretty well with his FIP. You always want to kind of look at how close are they. If a guy's got a 2.05 ERA but his fielding independent pitching is 4.75, you're like, something's weird. 2.05 ERA, 2.56 fielding independent pitching. Opponents hitting just .124. The real positive thing, though, here is the 38 Ks in 26 and a third innings with 59 swinging strikes over his last four starts, including a start against Cleveland, and they don't swing and miss a whole heck of a lot, the Guardians. And so that's some good stuff. That's like just really good swing and miss stuff from Kopech that's been a treat to see, and I hope he can continue that. But I was just glad they finally did what they were supposed to do. Come on, you've got the Tigers at home. They're all beat up. Their best player's out. Their best pitcher's out on the IL. Go sweep them.
Take advantage.
And they actually did it.
Yeah. Take advantage of
it. Yes, they actually did it. They actually took advantage of it. So I was happy to see that.
We'll see what the White Sox have for you.
Like you said, going into the break.
Next month in 4 days.
You got a month.
Going to the break, going to the All-Star break and reassess. Northside, they're a little more chipper. Not high expectations coming into the year. I think they're five games under .500, if I'm not mistaken.
They've got the same number of wins right now, but they've played a few fewer games. You're right, yeah. They're five games below. They, like the White Sox, are only 5.5 out in what appears is going to be a very mediocre, winnable division. Yeah. Can't believe Pittsburgh's still 31-27. I'm shocked at that.
Yeah, and the Cubs find themselves in third.
The Cubs are in third place.
And Milwaukee's on top.
Milwaukee is on top.
And St. Louis just crapped the bed.
Yeah, they got hot for a little while.
Wilson
but it hasn't
Contreras.
Been, but it hasn't been good. Yeah, I'm shocked at what Pittsburgh's done. Like McCutcheon, the way he's played, like he looks like, you know, he looks like mid-teens McCutcheon again. He looks like the guy that was at, you know, fifth in MVP voting every year for a stretch there, third in MVP voting every year, won an MVP in one of those years. Yeah, that's the weird one. I mean, Rich Hill's starting for them, for crying out loud, Yerk. That's
the lefty.
The crazy one for me. Yeah, the lefty that never gets up. He's 43 years old, for crying out loud. Darvish was awesome on Saturday, but the Cubs have that wraparound game tonight in San Diego. They can win the series. Stroman's the other good story that you guys have going right now.
Yeah. Well, and what are you going to do?
Sylvie thinks they're going to, when they should,
resign him.
Look, he's got that player option that he's obviously going to decline, right? There's no doubt about that. He's really pitched pretty well for you. Especially this year. I mean,
is he Edwin Jackson or is he better than Edwin Jackson?
Better.
Asking a question.
He's better. I like your question, though. What do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
What do you do a month from now if you're still 5 to 8 games below .500? I mean, do you think you're a real competitor?
Do you believe? I mean, you got to have pitching. You got to have pitching.
Yeah, you do.
Is something that you're going to get out on the market? Are you going to be able to get something better than Stroman? Right? Are you going to get something better than Stroman at the same price? And if the answer is no, then you talk to Stroman, you get him signed up to a deal. And if you've got a theoretical window,
would you
sign him a 4-year deal?
Right, yes. If you think you're going into something here, if like your young guys, if you're believing in where you are, and like, okay, we're going to be competitive in the next couple years, and we do want good quality starting pitching. He's 32. You know, Marcus Stroman's no longer the young kid in Toronto. But he's pitched exceptionally well. I mean, and he's been a little bit of, he's been a horse for you, too, which is a good sign.
And he's not had arm problems over his career? Not an arm problem guy?
Off the top of my head, Yerk, I would have to double-check this. I don't recall Stroman missing a year to, like, Tommy
John. He's like a contact guy, too. Like, he's not one of those fireballers where he's going to end up.
Well, no, he's never been a huge swing in the arm.
I mean, 33, is he 33 now or 32?
He's 32.
33 through 36.
Yeah,
that's I can do that. For a pitcher, I can do that.
For a pitcher that doesn't have great swing and miss stuff, can you do it? Are you comfortable doing it?
Listen, either you like what you see or you don't like what you see.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like what you... I called him Edwin Jackson. You said, oh, no, he's much better than Edwin
Jackson.
I think
he's better than Edwin Jackson.
Now, all of a sudden, you can't start countering your own argument.
I don't know what I do. He's a tricky one, man. At 32...
I'll give you a 4-year deal with a mutual option at the end.
Yeah.
Fifth year's a mutual option. Both have to go, yes, we want each other.
How much of a raise over the 25 schmil, though, he's already making?
Oh, no, not much more than that. No.
I mean, guy leads the league in whip right now. Got a 2.39 ERA. Yeah. Just 5.9 hits per nine. Oh. That's the number that makes you go, hmm.
I'd for his career? I'd give him an offer, Carm, and if he didn't accept the offer before like July, you know, July 15th,
yeah,
then I let teams know that he's available.
Here's the thing that's weird. 8.6 career hits per nine. 8.6. This year, below 6.
What's going on?
The BABIP is about 220. That's awfully low. That's all I'm saying. Not a hater. I'm just saying. It's pitched well. It's been a good story. Pitched well again yesterday. But 220 is awfully low.
You don't believe it?
It's somewhat unsustainable, generally speaking.
Yeah. You don't believe it. It's all right.
No.
You don't believe it.
The 5.9 hits per nine for a guy who had his career's over 8.5.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Too much, too quick of an improvement?
It's you know, you wonder.
Does he regress to the mean?
Yes, that's what you wonder. But all in all, he's pitched pretty well in a Cub uniform. We're talking about an ERA just over 3 the last year and a half since signing. If you want to talk some baseball with us, 312-332-3776. Plus, we'll get into the NBA Finals. Thrilling fourth quarter, second half, fourth quarter yesterday in the Heat. Even up the series going to South Beach later this week. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Sitting on the sideline. Duncan Robinson drives and finishes.
I am so impressed with the improvement by Duncan Robinson off the dribble.
We've been watching Kyle Lowry do that for 17 years. Robinson fires and hits a three-pointer. Duncan Robinson, 3 for 3. Open three. Gabe Vincent knocks it down. Gabe Vincent is 4th three-pointer. Lowry, Adebayo jumper. Got it. The Heat 6 for 6 from the field here in the fourth quarter. Adebayo catches, kicks it out in the corner. Butler on the drive. The floater's good. And the foul. Lowry with 6 to shoot. Caldwell Pope chasing with 5 fouls. Inside, Adebayo, and a foul. What a pass and finish. The lead is 10 and a chance for a 3-point play. Denver does have a timeout, but they're not using it. 4 seconds, Murray, step back, 3-pointer. One goal, fight for the rebound, Martin, and it's over.
ABC with the highlights last night, game 2. And Miami becomes the first team in the postseason, Yurko, to beat the Nuggets in Denver. Now the series shifts for Wednesday night's game 3. And Miami, of course, an underdog again. This Miami thing is wild. I mean, I don't know how many times we've said this. I know it sounds like we're a broken record here, but they trailed the Bulls. They trailed the Bulls in the play-in game, in the second play-in game, because they lost the first one at home to a bad Atlanta team. They're without probably their third and fourth best players. Two of their top four players aren't playing.
Right, Oladipo and
Tyler Hero.
Yeah.
And Jimmy hasn't even had a great scoring series yet, but I thought Jimmy was brilliant in some of the playmaking, facilitating stuff he did last night. I thought Jimmy was really good, actually, in a few areas. But, like, Jimmy hasn't even gone off and had, like, a 30-point game, and they're tied at 1. They just did something nobody's been able to do in Denver, and that's win in the postseason. Duncan Robinson was out of the rotation. Out.
Yeah.
Unplayable player.
They didn't want him.
All season.
They didn't want him.
And he had a couple of monster games in the Boston series, in the conference finals. He comes in and, just go score 10 points in the fourth. I'll go match Joker and be the leading scorer in the fourth quarter of game 2 of the NBA Finals. A player that was unusable 2 months ago. Unusable.
Well,
this whole thing is blowing my mind.
Did they go on a 10-0 run to start the fourth quarter?
I don't know if it was 10-0, but it was 10-0?
I think it was at least 10-0.
You might be right.
And I think they may have popped the first 15 on them.
You might be right, Yurk.
Because Denver, cold.
Yeah.
They were cold.
Yes, they were.
They weren't good. They had turnovers. And everything that Miami threw up there went in.
Everything.
Didn't matter who was shooting either.
I mean, they shot 5 of 9 from distance in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They went 5 of 9.
And if you looked at game 1 and you asked yourself when Struss couldn't make a shot.
Right.
And the other guy couldn't make a shot.
Right.
They're open shots.
Yes.
They weren't contested.
They just missed.
Somebody asked me, I go, listen, if they make their shots, guess what? They're in this thing. And they made their shots. They were in it. Then eight, Murray tries to bring it back with a couple of three-pointers late. Just couldn't get that last one with Jimmy all over him to find a way to fall. And, okay, you won by three. I mean, they played great basketball, the Miami Heat. They shot, you know, 40% from three.
No, they shot almost 50% in the game, right?
Yeah. Oh, I was down by Denver.
They shot almost 50%
Almost 50% from three.
You do that, you're going to be in a lot of games.
90% from the line, 18 to 20 from the charity stripe. You almost shoot 50% from the field.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you complaining about? Yeah. There's nothing to complain about. Well, only five free throws missed out of 42 attempted. Yeah. On both sides of the ball. I mean, that's pretty good.
It was, but I think Mike Malone was right when he afterwards kind of called out the effort of his team and said, this just isn't good enough. And
defensively.
That's what I mean. In Miami's effort defensively, which for the most part is always like next level good, it was again last night. I mean, just the closeouts and forcing them into tougher shots along the three-point line and sort of being physical and not being afraid to get physical with Joker and just... You know, like he's an unstoppable force, and he still went off for 40 points. But they still played him physical. They made him work. They just do things that are smart. And here's, I said this to Peggy on Friday. I said, I just don't know. I said, Eric Spoelstra and his staff, a lot smarter than I mean, know a lot more about basketball. I said, I just don't know what the, like, what's the tweak? What's the adjustment? And I said, I don't know what it is that's going to allow them to thrive. And you know what the adjustment was that worked? And I wouldn't have
Kevin
guessed
Love.
It. Kevin Love. Kevin Love did not play in game one. What does Spoelstra do? He didn't like the way Aaron Gordon, they sort of hunted some mismatches for Aaron Gordon in the first quarter of the first game. And he said, you know what? Kevin didn't play a minute in game one. You're going to play 22 in this game. Like I don't know that he'll be able to get any more juice out of that. I'm not sure. Like, can you keep squeezing that stone and get water out of it? Maybe that's the better analogy. I don't know. Maybe now Denver's seen it and they'll be more ready, but it worked now for Miami and now they stole home court.
Now it's Denver's turn to answer.
Yeah.
Right? You still think Denver's the better team.
I think without question Denver's the better. I don't think it's even close.
Denver will take a look at what happened. They'll assess. They get blown out of the water.
No, you're right. They lost by three, but they had a decent shot at the end to tie it.
Yeah, I mean, they were up eight. They were up eight after three.
Yes.
They're feeling good about themselves.
So I think you bring up a good point. Like, now Denver's turn to kind of assess. Their coach called out their effort. That normally fires guys up. You imagine getting called out for effort in a playoff, in a finals game?
You'd never expect it.
Right? So that probably fires them up. They probably do tweak a few things. Joker's still going to be Joker, and they've got a tough matchup on their hands, Miami does. Boy, you got to like Bam. Bam looks like, Bam's doing like Joakim-level things, you know, running the offense. Top of the key, high post, right? He's doing Joakim things, Yerk. Just clever, creative, knows where to go with the ball. But they still have a tough matchup against Joker. I think the size at some at points can, you know, Denver can exploit some things. They just have to go back to if the effort's better and a few tweaks. Yeah. I think you're right. I don't know how anybody could call and say, oh, no, Miami's equally as good. And who knows, maybe because Miami is just, they're on this freak run right now and they're playing with a lot of confidence and they're well coached. Can they pull it off? I don't know, but there's no way on talent Miami is as good as Denver. There's just no way.
In the opening 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, they're outscored 17-2.
17-2. There you go.
17-2.
That was the run. That's where the game started. They scored 36 in the fourth.
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
3 minutes. It was 17-2.
Yeah, you talk about punching a team in the face too.
That's
like
it.
The home team getting punched in the face. What do you like the way we talk? I feel like we dissect this all the time. I shouldn't say never. I very rarely have a problem with the coach in the closing seconds saying just go. No timeout, just go. Especially if you trust your guys. They've got a veteran team. You've got two really smart players on the floor in Joker and Murray. Like, I'm okay with that. Sometimes the scenario, you look at the team on the floor, the personnel, and you might say, the coach would have been better off to call a timeout there. I didn't mind, even though he missed. I thought he got a good look. I didn't mind him not calling the timeout. Let your guys go. Trust your guys. Don't let the other team set up his defense. Just go.
Let him play.
Yeah, just let him play.
And it's going to be a three-pointer no matter what.
Yeah, with 12 seconds left, you pretty much knew.
Right, so he's coming down. Even if you get the foul, even if you call a timeout, you move the ball to half court, you've got to inbound it. you're taking care of the perimeter. You're allowing a 2-point shot. You don't care, right?
No, you don't care. Some, you know, you even start thinking about a foul in that situation, too, because the three is the thing that really hurts you there. The two certainly does not.
Making three in a row is not easy. Butler did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
But making three in a row is not the easiest thing in the world either.
Yep. Jordan's in Maryville on ESPN 1000 with Carmen in New York. What up, Jordan?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good, doing good. You know, Eric Spoelstra, he's a good coach and all that. But, you know, I'm not going to give him too much praise about that Kevin Love tweak. I was watching the first 5 minutes of the first game, and I said they need to get Kevin Love in this game. You know, he had Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon was killing him.
Like 10, 15 points in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Joker killing him. Obviously, you need more size. And the fact that you waited, you didn't even play the man the whole first game, I'm not going to give you too much praise for the fact that you did it in the second game. So, you know, it was a smart tweak to do it, but he should have did that in the first game.
They got – okay, Jordan, thanks, buddy. Yeah, I mean, maybe it they got Kevin Love for a song, too. I mean, when did they add Kevin Love?
It was right around the deadline.
Was it the deadline?
I think they just bought him out. He was a buyout guy, too, I think.
I mean, I don't know. He did end up playing. I didn't even think he hit 20 for them. He did. He played. He played 21 games for Miami. He did average 20 a game. I would not have guessed that it was that high of a number.
He got hurt late. When did he get hurt?
I thought
he got banged up.
I thought
that's one of the reasons he wasn't playing.
No, I just think. I mean, look, like this team is like, you know, they're playing Cody Zeller in meaningful minutes, and you know they're taking a flyer on Kevin Love and turning it into something useful, and somehow Duncan Robinson was maybe you don't give Miami too much credit for this either because they gave him a ridiculous contract, but they found a way to build Duncan Robinson back up, and he's giving them meaningful minutes. I'm impressed with the way they do this. Spoelstra, Riley, the whole thing, the whole Heat culture thing. You say, oh, I'm sick of hearing about it. I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know how to explain this. This is true outlier stuff, what's happening here. It truly is. And I don't know how you explain it other than Riley and Spoelstra are really good. And how they somehow were able to prop Duncan Robinson back up and get him motivated and get him some confidence is like, really? You couldn't play him 2 months ago. It's surprising, the whole thing, that they've gone this far, that they're in this series. The whole thing is surprising. We'll take more of your calls coming up. Yurko's got a NASCAR trivia question. We've got two. Listen to this. All week we'll do this, and Yurko will give you questions. Two-day admission tickets, okay? It includes trackside viewing of the NASCAR Cup Series and NASCAR Xfinity Series events. This is, of course, when they come to Chicago next month. Access to Lakefront Green Concert Area, walkthrough experience with landmark moments throughout the 75-year history of NASCAR, festival activities and experiences including the Chicago Food Hall, the Tavern, the Ferris Wheel Rides, and much more. This is all part of your ticket experience with NASCAR if you win. So first correct caller right now at 312-332-3776 is going to win the passes. Yurko, what's the trivia question?
The trivia question is, in NASCAR history, there have been three drivers to win 7 NASCAR season titles.
Okay.
Name me two of the three.
Ricky Bobby.
Not Ricky Bobby, no.
Jean Girard.
Not Jean Girard either.
I am a racing car driver from Formula 1.
7 NASCAR season trophies.
7.
For the whole season, the points title.
Okay.
There's been three drivers that have been able to do it. Give me two of the three.
So I only need to do two of the three. There's your question, folks. First correct caller wins. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Congrats to Andrew and Joliet. He wins the NASCAR tickets. What a prize pack. And we've got this all week for everybody. Yurko asked the trivia question. Which three drivers, you only had to name two out of the three. Andrew knew all three. Which three drivers in the history of NASCAR have won the most season-long points titles? There are three guys that are tied. They each won 7. And we guessed before. I guessed one right away. Yeah. Jimmy Johnson's the easy one.
You like Jimmy Johnson, yes.
And then the other is Dale Earnhardt
Sr.
Senior, not junior. And then I said, Yurko, could it be Richard Petty? Yurko said, Richard Petty.
Oh, yeah. He won 200 races, Richard Petty.
The other guess a few of us had, I think Kevin had this one, Tony Stewart, we guessed.
He's got three.
And I guessed Jeff Gordon.
Who's got four.
He's got four. Yeah. So it's Petty, it's Jimmy Johnson, and it's Senior, the Intimidator. That's a pretty impressive list. Andrew knew all three. Yurko will do another trivia question for you tomorrow. Every day this week, this is really a pretty awesome prize package here. And again, this is two-day admission for the NASCAR race here in Chicago coming up next month. So stick around all week and you can win. Don't forget to get the Dad Fails into us as well. We got the Omaha Steaks promotion going on. We got a bunch of those that rolled in. Charlie's going to pick the winner here in a little bit, or at least he'll give us an idea of a few of the good ones, and we'll pick a winner for the $200.
We got two winners today, actually.
Oh, that's right, because we missed a day last week because of a short show. So two $200 prize packs on the line for today from Omaha Steaks. Don't forget to go and buy your Father's Day packages now, omahasteaks.com. Use our promo code when you check out, ESPN. They'll knock $30 off your order. Minimum purchase may be required. That's omahasteaks.com. And when you send us your dad fails on Twitter, make sure you use the hashtag #bestdadfails. It was a loaded weekend here, man. I mean, it was pretty, the vibe was something with the Taylor Swift. The Swifties took over town, Yurko. And all accounts,
yeah, they took over everything. Yeah,
all accounts, the concerts were good. She's a good performer. Raquel, who works with us upstairs, ducked her head in the office when we were talking about earlier, and she said it's the best show she's ever seen. And of course, Danny Zetterman. I mean, Danny doesn't want to hear
our
that.
Our topic of conversation was something totally different.
Yes,
but she did say it was the best performance she's ever seen.
And I said best performance. I said, what are we weighing this against, though? Exactly. Have you seen the Rolling Stones?
Right.
Have you seen Bruce Springsteen? Have you seen Billy Joel?
Have you seen a Grateful Dead show?
Have you seen a Grateful Dead
show?
With Jerry
Garcia at the helm.
Right.
And Brett Weir.
Well, Bob Weir. Get Brett Weir, I said. I said, what are we comparing this
what
to?
What are you talking
about?
And
she goes, no, I never even heard of most
of those
people.
Were you at Woodstock? Yeah. Right. You know? Were you at Woodstock?
Have you seen Jimmy perform live, for crying out loud? She said, Jimmy who?
The Doors. Have you seen The Doors?
L.A. woman in the afternoon.
Looks like the final tally from this weekend, there were 17 arrests and citations issued at Soldier Field.
That's not bad.
That's
17.
Not bad.
I mean, well, hell, how many people went through? 180,000 people went through there, right?
17 arrests for what?
Public drunkenness.
Just arrests and citations.
Drunkenly conduct.
Have to be specific.
I would guess, including the floor, you'd probably get 50,000 fans a day in there.
Oh, is that what it was? I thought it was even more. Okay, so 150,000 fans went through there?
150, yeah.
It's a lot of people. I mean, 17's not so bad.
Plus about 5,000 a night sitting outside singing the songs.
That was the case, I guess, over the weekend as well. People just sat on the lawn and listened.
Yeah. And why not?
You know, we played the game, Peggy and I, on Friday. I can't name a lot of her songs, but boy, you know a lot of them. You hear them and you go, well, she's got a lot of good songs. I know this one. I recognize that.
Sure you do.
Now, the show I really want to go see later this year is Pearl Jam. That's more my speed.
Right. Are you going? Tickets won't be $3,000.
No, they won't be.
I promise you they won't be that much.
I'm angling for some tickets to Pearl Jam. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how we're going to get in.
Angle?
Well,
how about calling up and buying them?
Well, I don't know that they're very easy to get right now.
There's a weird angle.
Well, I don't think they're that easy to get right now.
Actually, they are easy.
Are they?
Yeah.
You talking secondary market?
Yeah, of course.
I like to dabble in secondary.
Why?
I don't. I have a...
You know exactly where you're going to be sitting.
You know me. I've never bought a bottle of whiskey on the secondary market. I think it's crazy. I've never sold one either, although I'm thinking about finally selling one.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Did you know that? I can't do it. I can't do it, Yurk.
Whatever.
On Vivid Seats in the 200 level, it's like $175 per ticket.
Oh, that's not bad. I'll buy that. That's fine then. All right. I thought it was more expensive.
I always think a good seat is the 300 level first row.
At the UC?
You're sitting
for concert?
No, not UC. Is that where you're going? UC?
He's playing UC. Pearl Jam's playing UC, yeah.
All right.
In September, I think.
Trying to remember what section is like stage.
Pearl Jam.
As you look at the stage, it's up to the left about 12 rows, 14 rows high. I always found that to be great. I was 117, 118, probably about 109, section 109.
Right by your old seats, right?
Well, I was 118.
You were 118. I'm sorry.
So if you go 109, you get like if you were looking down
you go
the goalie line.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's where you want to be for a concert. You're looking right down on stage about 17 rows up.
Well, I'll tell you what. Floor seats are anywhere from like 800 up to 1,500, so forget that. Yurko says 109. Oof. I'm on Vivid Seats right now, and we can't go to the Thursday show because that's opening night in the NFL. So we got to go Tuesday, Yurk. Tuesday the 7th.
You're going the 7th.
Yeah, I'm not going on opening night of the NFL. I mean, I like Pearl Jam, but no. Come on. Danny might go on that Thursday, but no. I'll be watching opening night.
And who are we looking for?
Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Well, I only got a list up to C, and that's
the cheapest level I'm looking at right now. Like Charlie said, 155 upper level, 329. But 329, you're behind the stage again. How the hell do they put seats behind the stages at these?
Well,
events?
Sometimes people just want to be inside to hear the music.
That's crazy.
It's September what?
September 7th, and then
there's a lot of concerts in town.
I think I paid like $80 to see John Mulaney at United Center.
Boy, I tell you what, did you watch his new special?
Yeah. That's basically what he did. Was that special?
York, do you know John Mulaney, the comic?
No.
Or his new comedy special?
He went to St. Ignatius, right?
I don't know. I mean, he's from Chicago. Yeah. I don't know that he went to Ignatius, did he?
I'm pretty sure he did.
He's definitely from Chicago. Holy cow, is his new comedy special on Netflix is funny. You know, he went to rehab. He was hooked on coke.
I did not know
that. And a few other drugs. What is it, Percocet, I think he said. And he does his experience of going to rehab. I mean, I've always liked him. I think his specials have been good in the past. It was really good. But, I mean, if you want to get any... Oh, here you go, 301, 198,
what are you crying about?
I don't know.
Here's the stage, okay? 114, you're looking down on the stage.
So stage is like by where your old seats were in 119.
Right, 118 is behind the stage.
Right.
So I'm looking at 114 here.
114,
you know?
You're right next to the stage. Yeah. What are you looking at?
You're looking right down on the stage. You're looking at the guy perform.
Tickets are $543.
It's peanuts for a guy like you.
All right.
What are you crying about?
Why don't
about?
You buy the ticket for me? Do something nice for me and buy me the tickets.
You buy your tickets for yourself.
If I buy you tickets for your birthday, will you go with us? Or no?
For what?
I don't know. For your birthday. If we, it's right around your birthday. Will you come to Pearl Jam or you have no interest?
No.
No interest?
Listen, let the Pearl Jam fans enjoy Pearl Jam.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to find my next Warren Zevon out there somewhere. When I do, I'm going to go find
there's
him.
There's not another Warren
Zevon. If Rammstein comes back to town,
no Warren Zevon.
Maybe I'll go see Rammstein. If the System of a Down get back together, maybe I'll go see System of a Down.
That could happen.
There you go. Maybe
would
then.
You see GNR live? Would you see Guns N' Roses live?
No.
No?
No.
Metallica?
Probably.
Probably? All right, I like your
Metallica's
answer.
Metallica's coming to town.
Yeah, they are. Good answer.
Metallica's coming out.
Really? No Guns N' Roses?
Well, I'm being nice by saying probably. Probably. Not necessarily.
I've never seen Metallica live. I would like to see that. Cody is in South Bend. He's got a quick bourbon question. What's up, Cody?
Hey, Carm. I got two questions. First, have you tried the Black Steel? It's been very limited, Black Steel bourbon.
I have not.
And then the second one, is there any kind of bourbon that has, like, low quantity that you would, like, pay top dollar for?
Low, like a hard to find that I would pay secondary prices for?
Or maybe like play, let's say they're about to come out with a order in next year and you want, and it's, and you got bid it now to get it, you know? Is there any kind of bourbon that you would do that for?
Probably not. Maybe like if you had a chance to look, if I had a chance to buy a bottle of, let's say, Michter's 20 or an MSRP, I might think about it, but even then, I don't know.
Well, what's that going to cost?
It's like MSRP on Michter's 20 is like $600 at this point.
Me, for bourbon or anything, I wouldn't pay anything above what I could find it for.
Yeah.
Like when I found Elmer T. Lee time, or when I found H.W. McKinney for $27 and picked up a bottle for my good friend Carmen.
That's right, he did.
You know?
Yeah, Cody, thanks, buddy.
I paid $110 for a whistle pig that they sold out at the Pride store that we're at.
That was our pick. Yeah, of course, you're going to buy one of those. That's cool.
Our pick. What, do you got a mouse in the pocket? It wasn't our pick. It was your pick and the guys over at the Pride store.
We're a team. I put our name on everything.
I got you, but I wasn't there.
That's true.
I didn't taste any of the juice.
Will you come to the next one?
Sure.
I think we're doing another pick with the Pride stores this year.
Of course, Carm. You know.
Absolutely. By the way, I won't say anything. I think we got a couple. We already did one pick that we're going to, well, okay, I did with Breakthrough. We got a Cedar Ridge pick coming soon. We're working on a few other things.
You did it again.
Yeah, we did. We did.
You
that
didn't pick. Allow me to come learn more about bourbon.
You couldn't be there, I think, that day.
I'm going to tell you this, too. I learned a lot about bourbon down there, trying all the different kinds.
I know.
That's key.
All the different whiskeys.
You got it, and then the distillate, and then the mash I tasted, and then the second mash. That's where some of them flavors you see it early on, and you can really see, you can get the distinct flavor.
Sure do.
And then once you get that, then that helps you along, Carm. You've been cheating this whole time.
That's why everybody should go to the Bourbon Trail and experience it. All right, coming up, we'll pick a Dad Fails winner for today. We'll try to sneak in a few more calls here and then crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvia, 312-332-ESPN. We'll be right back.
Working from home? Or back in the office? Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. What a beautiful weekend. Great day today. Weather's going to be nice all week. Let's enjoy it. We're live in the old National Bank State Street studio. Remember, Wednesday, come hang with us. Yurk and I are going to be out and about. A little hump day fun, Yurk. Twin Peaks, Warrenville. Yeah. We haven't been out in a while. It'll be fun. Shake some hands, get some food, drink a nice cold beer, talk game three, Heat and Nuggets, talk some baseball. Bears OTAs again this week.
Beautiful.
Probably have Courtney Cronin on one day this week, hopefully Wednesday. So, yeah, lots of fun stuff. Come hang with us. Twin Peaks in Warrenville starting at noon this Wednesday. I can't think of a better place to go have lunch. I got to be honest with you. So come by and see us. You know, we're at the Alta Equipment outing on Thursday.
Yeah,
that's
we'll
going to be fun,
Chicago.
At Prairie Landing, yeah. Got a couple. We get to be out and about this week a few times. I love that.
Burn a little petrol, kid.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
What were you going to say? I cut you off there.
No, it's all right.
All right.
I was right there. I mean, the food's great, and we're going to have some old-fashioned.
So good. Always a good time. Charlie, what do we got for Dad Fails today? Remember, all this week, still have a chance to win. Not only are we giving away those NASCAR tickets, and Yurko's doing trivia every day for that, we got the Dad Fails contest. Father's Day's around the corner. OmahaSteaks.com. That's where you want to go, but we've got the prize packs to give away. $200 value. That's pretty awesome. And just send us your best Dad Fails on Twitter. We've done this the last couple of years. It's always fun. Best Dad Fails. Use the hashtag Best Dad Fails on Twitter. What do we got, Charlie?
So we got a few, and we have two to pick today. So this is from Oliver Twisted. His house caught fire in the last 2 minutes of the Fog Bowl. Oh, his dad refused to leave till the game was over. The mom cried, "Where are we going to live?" Dad said, "Are you kidding? Where do we watch the playoffs?"
The house burned.
1988.
I believe it was 1988, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, wasn't that game New Year's Eve of 88 year ago?
Yeah, my grandpa was at that game.
It was 88 because we were in Arizona watching the Fiesta Bowl 2 days later. So we watched the Fog Bowl out there. So it was 1988 going into 89.
This is a true story. He let the house burn down?
I think it just caught
just
on
fire. Caught on fire?
Yeah,
right.
my guess is they eventually evacuated the house.
It's pretty bold by the old man.
Yeah, my understanding this was his dad. And then
that's pretty funny.
Yeah. And then this is from FGB. My son was walking around with me at Menards, and he was joking around with the toilets. And I said, "Go ahead, buddy." He then got stuck inside the display toilet.
Beautiful.
And it took a few workers and myself to get him out. I felt like such an idiot. What mama don't know.
This is absolutely a great dad, Phil. What do we think? By the way, that game was December 31st. It was New Year's Eve. That's what I thought. 1988. 100% right. Bears win 20-17.
Carm, we need two victors.
Oh, that's right. They both win. Those are the two that we like. All right, we don't need just one. Well, there you go.
We need two winners.
Because we were we had a short show last Wednesday. Yeah. There you go.
All right.
Good call, Charlie.
Have you ever seen this on Twitter or Instagram? Twitter or Instagram.
What's that?
It's a wife's cooking. She's got a wok in front of her, and she's cooking. And you know how you introduce the heat and you get a little bit of fire in the wok? That's what she's got going on. So she does it. The husband, her husband,
sees it. I've seen this.
Yeah, you've seen it.
I've seen it.
Where he panics, grabs the child, runs out of the kitchen, slams the door behind him, and all she does is put the handle, you know, the pot over, the cover.
Tell me.
She puts the cover over the top of it, and what did he? Oh, he grabbed the child and ran hell with me, right? He thought it was an emergency, saved himself in the cave, got the ice out, and then slammed the door behind him.
The worst part is that he slams the door behind him so she can't get out. Like, what is that set up? Is that a staged thing, or is that?
I don't know. It looked like she was fuming, Carm, because she put it out, put the top of the walk down, and she walked out of there storming. She was not a happy camper.
I mean, what happens that night and the rest of the day week?
He can't apologize for anything. That's when the flowers have to come down the pipeline. There's got to be flowers there.
That's a tough one.
You can't get away without having some flowers come. Maybe a candy or two.
That's a tough one. Jim is in Wheaton on ESPN 1000.
Big bunny.
What's up, Jim?
Hey, hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Great. What's up?
Hey, I was at the Taylor Swift concert last night.
So what do you think?
Just to give you a perspective, right? I've been to the Rolling Stones. I've been to Grateful Dead. I've been to Bruce Springsteen. I've been to them all.
You've been all the ones we mentioned. All right.
Right, so I've been to them all, and I like rock and roll better, But she put on the best performance.
Really?
By far.
No kidding.
What and, got you? So, just the amount of music? Was it the costume changes? Was it the dance, the choreography?
You know, all of those things, Jericho, all of those things. And each set she had of songs, you know, she put on something different. The stage in the background is like five stories high.
I saw that.
In one of the songs, there were trees coming out, you know, of, you know, just in front of the stage were like 10 trees, and they created a forest. One other time, she was down on stage. It opened up. She jumps in like a pool, and the whole thing turns the water, and she swims to the other side.
All right. So this sounds like it was pretty elaborate, Jim. You're not kidding.
It was really, really elaborate. I'm not a Swiftie. I took five of my daughter's teenage girlfriends that are 17.
Oh, my God. God bless you, Jim.
They're Swifties. They do every word to every song. I knew half the songs, and I had a great time.
That's pretty awesome to hear.
Yeah. Just a couple other things. She commands that stage. Yeah. She just owns it, and there's acting involved, and it was just really good. So I just wanted to give you a perspective.
It's great perspective. And, hey, Jim's in Wheaton. Come by if you're free for lunch Wednesday at Twin Peaks Warrenville. We won't be far from you, Jimmy. I'm glad you called. Yurko's seen her. He said it's good.
Yeah.
He said it's good.
I've seen her twice.
Sylvie's seen her in concert, said it's good.
Not this time.
You've experienced it. Yeah. Speaking of Waddle and Sylvie, the boys will be down for Crosstalk next. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Abdallah's got the final word, brought to you by Wendy's.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
Yep.
Donuts are not
good. I flipped that way.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I was in a flipped car.
Whoa.
I wasn't driving. I was in a flipped car.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.